God's people, as we come now to the reading and preaching of the Lord's Word, if you would turn in the Scriptures to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. And we're going to begin reading, though looking at verse 30, the first part of verse 30 this morning, we're going to start reading in verse 28. So Romans 8, verse 28 through verse 30. And before we read the Word of God, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come in prayer because we are unable to hear without Your grace and without Your Holy Spirit. We cannot hear with our ears. They would be stopped up unless You do Your great work. And so, Father, we pray that You would illumine our hearts, our minds, our ears, but especially our minds and hearts. Shine a light into the dark places that still have remaining sin or all completely dark, and that You would work in us by Your Holy Spirit, Your Word. Surgically place it inside, so that You would do Your great work of salvation, of justification, sanctification, that we would be being prepared for glorification. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 28, our focus verse 30, and that's what we'll read through. So beginning verse 28, these are the words of God. They are fully authoritative for our lives, so give your attention to them. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Those are the words of God. We're looking at verse 30 at this particular part. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. And particularly looking at called this morning, we already have spoken of predestination in verse 29. And so we are continuing now from verse 29 into verse 30, where we have heard about our being foreknown, or in other words, foreloved, are predestinated, or being predestined, and that unto sanctification, or that to be conformed to the image of His Son, that is to Christ, being sanctified. Now we come to look at the next part of what is called by some people the golden chain of salvation, and that is calling. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. The interesting thing is that we are moving from verse 29 in eternity past, and what God is revealing to us from that, and what we've learned, the doctrinal phrase, the pactum salutis, or the covenant of redemption, to now, in verse 30, now we are in time, in a sense, if we could put it that way. Verse 29 was about what God did in eternity past for our salvation. Now verse 30 is about what God has done or will do in time for our salvation. This morning we're looking at one's calling or being called. And verse 30, our calling, which is known, is connected with God's decree that is concealed. Verse 29, it's connected to His decree. And this teaches us that we may judge our own election. We may be able to ascertain if we are God's chosen people or His elect or not. If we are predestined unto sanctification or we are foreknown of God, we are able to ascertain that, not by trying to figure out, am I predestined? Am I elect? Am I foreknown of those alone? But He gives us something to be able to ascertain it, and that is, what is verse 30? And the first two things in calling and justification but we're looking first at calling. God's decree, verse 29, all the things in verse 29 are concealed in a sense. But this teaches us that we may judge our own election by our calling. 2 Peter 1:10 says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call or calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. That's a command to you. Peter's saying that you have a duty. It's a duty of believers to make their calling and election sure. It's a duty of everybody in the church to make your calling and election sure. Are you really called? And if you're not, then you need to come to Jesus Christ and believe on the salvation. And if you are called, then you are of God's elect. And all these promises that we've seen in Romans 8 are true of you and for you. And so we are called to make our calling and election sure. In other words, we are to clear it up to ourselves whether we are chosen and elect for God and of God. And how are you to make sure that you are eternally elected or chosen? And we can add, how are you to make sure that you are foreloved and predestined unto sanctification? You can't look into or at the Lamb's Book of Life to find out. You can't look into the eternal counsels of the Lord, which we've already said is concealed, His decrees. But our Lord here in Romans 8, verse 30, gives you something. He gives you something for your assurance. He gives you something so you know that you have, verse 17, despite the sufferings that you have to go through, if indeed we suffer with them, He gives you something so that you will know that you will be glorified in the midst of your sufferings and struggles in this life. Glory. And so that He gives you something so that you know, verse 28 that we just read, all things work together for your good. How do I know that all things work together for my good? Because I love God, not just love what He's done, what we've heard, but through the calling that He gives us. As He says there in verse 28, and now He comes back to verse 30. He says here, "Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called." So that if you make your calling sure, then you have made your election, predestination, and being foreloved sure. And in other words, He has made it sure to you. If you can determine if you are called, then you may conclude that the Lord says that you are the chosen of God unto salvation. But this isn't the easiest thing to do, as we all know, to judge yourself. It will take a very close examining of yourself, of your life. You must examine in order to determine if you are thoroughly converted, if your mind has been enlightened by the gospel, if your will, that is, your desires, what you will, your desires have been renewed towards desiring good things and godly things and holy things. You will have to examine to determine if your souls have changed, if there is now a bent, a change in how you operate as a person. Is there now a new bent towards the Lord and serving Him instead of a bent towards yourself and serving yourself? And then not only examining those things, but coming to a very sure certainty regarding those things. And to do this, you must be diligent. It's not easy because we know throughout the Scriptures, and then even our confession says it's not easy. Assurance of salvation, not everybody attains. It's hard for some. It's very hard for others. And it's hard for every single one of us. But then not only examining those things, but coming to a very sure certainty regarding those things. And to do this, we must be diligent. You cannot be done without, this cannot be done without divine help. You go back to verse 16. We need the Spirit to bear testimony, to bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We need the psalmist. We need what the psalmist pleaded for, so we must plead it ourselves. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. This is difficult. But if you're able to do it by the grace of God, to make your calling sure, then you will be assured of the everlasting kingdom where Christ reigns, and you shall reign with Him forever and ever. And so this is something we ought to strive for. Who doesn't want to know that they are in the everlasting kingdom, or going to be, guaranteed it? We should all desire that, and then therefore examine ourselves that we might be assured by God's grace, and plead for the Lord, pray to Him that we would be able to ascertain it. So it may be a struggle for you. It will be a struggle for you. But it is a worthwhile struggle to engage in. And so we ought to try to begin. We go back to the passage, verse 29 and 30. Paul saying, those whom God has predestined are those whom God called and justified. And so we may say the reverse. Those whom God has called and justified shows those whom God foreknew and predestined, even elected. And Peter, as Peter said, if God has called us, then He's elected us. And so now, then, what is this calling? What is this calling? What are we talking about here in verse 30? We've already looked at a little bit, previously in verse 28, those who are the called according to His purpose. It's the same people. Those who are the called in verse 28 are the same who are from based in predestination, the called here in verse 30. And the best thing to figure out what this calling means is to look at Scripture. Galatians 1 verse 15 says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. This Paul was called. Paul said, God called me through His grace. Our calling comes through His grace. He called him without regard to anything of Paul. There was nothing in Paul that God looked at and decided to then call him. This was by grace that God called him. God calls us in the same way. Paul's no different. We are no different than him. God did not, there's nothing in Paul that God looked at where God said, oh, I want to call him now because I see that in him. Right. And we've already covered that when we talked about foreknowledge in verse 29. God did not look down the corridors of time and see someone's faith, your faith, and say, oh, I will love him now. Amen. But He, by His grace in eternity past, did so because He loved us. Right. Nothing to do with us that He loved us, but He loved us despite who we were going to be before we were even created. Well, God calls us the same way, through His grace, and so we know that we are wretched people in and of ourselves, and we deserve death forever. And so how are we saved from that death forever but through the gospel? And that's what all of Romans so far has been talking about. There's nothing good in us to credit to ourselves or to give God a reason to save or call us. It is by grace. God's favor towards us despite who we are and what we've done. We're shown that in Scripture we call on the Lord. That call is an external call. It is in Romans 10. We haven't gotten there, but it's there in Romans 10. How then shall they, or we, call on Him? There is a calling that is on Him. And there's three types of calling. We're looking at the first type of calling here. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? There is a calling that is a calling upon the Lord. And every single one of you here is called to make that call. To call upon the Lord. But no one can call upon the Lord unless they've heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. that Jesus was what you could not be. That He was the perfect keeper of the law of God. And where you broke God's law, He kept it. And where you broke God's law, He satisfied the just punishment of your sin if you believe in Him. On the cross, through His sacrificial death. You can't call upon God. You cannot call upon God. You cannot believe the gospel without first that gospel being proclaimed to you so that you can hear and to be able to hear. Someone must preach it. And that preaching that is even happening right now in our midst, that preaching of the gospel is the second type of call. And that's called often the general call or the gospel call. It's again, it's an external call. It's an out thing, outward thing. Now, the calling of verse 30 is neither of those calls. It's not your calling upon the Lord. It's not, I believe in the Lord. Lord, help me. It's not that kind of call or save me. It's not the general call in which is the preaching of the gospel. It's a different type of call altogether. It's not calling upon Him, and it's not the call to you to believe. Those calls, those different types, the first two are external. And that call not only calls those who are the elect of God to come to Jesus for salvation, but it calls the general call, that is. It calls those who are not for love. It calls those who are not predestined unto sanctification. It calls those who are not chosen to be God's people as well. That general call is addressed to all peoples. It is in this case that Jesus says, many are called, but few chosen. In this general call, the scriptures show that all mankind was called three times. I'm going to the first two. That's pretty obvious if you've read through the scriptures. They were called through Adam. They were called through Noah. And then the third one, Colossians 1:23. The Lord, through Paul, says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And yet consider how quickly, at the same time, the external or the gospel general call was forgotten in those times by much of the human race. And so Romans 1, we've heard before, Romans 1 verse 28 says, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. But here in verse 30, we're talking about the third type of calling, which is effectual calling. Effectual calling. This effectual calling is much more than the external audible call to come and believe the gospel in Christ Jesus. As we just read, the general call is temporary. It is not retained often by the wicked. It is not something that will give us assurance. This effectual call, though, is always attributed to the operation of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. And we look at our passage here. You look at verse 30. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Yeah. And then it says it again. Whom He called, He also justified. Yeah. This is a calling by God. It's not our calling to Him. It's not the general call, come to Christ. It is God's calling of you if you are an elect, one of the elect of God. This calling is of God. God gives the increase. And so 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Paul says, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It is God who opens the heart to receive the word. The general call, there is no opening of the heart in that call. But God opens the heart in an effectual calling to receive the word. Acts 16, verse 14, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple. From the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Paul was speaking the general call, and God opened her heart. That's the effectual call. God is the one who gives a new heart. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And then Titus 3, verse 5, but when the kindness and the Lord, and when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Effectual calling happens when the general call, the preaching of God's Word, is accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, in conversion of sinners in their hearts. And so because God the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of the ones who are effectually called, Jesus Christ calls and men instantly believe in that effectual call. And they call upon the Lord, as we heard the first call, they call upon the Lord for salvation because of the effectual call of God. And so Matthew 4, verse 19 gives us the examples. When Jesus was calling the disciples, then He said to them, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed Him because they were effectually called to come unto Christ. And the effectual call, grace is communicated to the sinner who becomes a new creature. Very closely tied with the effectual call of God is regeneration. Regeneration, like effectual calling, they're not the same thing, but they're very similar. Regeneration, like effectual calling, is not something that comes over time or happens gradually. It is effected instantaneously. Though faith may be weak at first and be of different strengths throughout one's life when they are regenerated and effectually called, compared to someone who has been a Christian for a long time, at the moment of regeneration, at the moment someone is effectually called, that person is in possession of the exact same life as the one who's been a Christian, being regenerated and effectually called a long time ago. The same exact life that the child of God has. Or if you compare it to the one who's already entered glory, you have the same life and promises as that person. In this way, a man is either dead in sin, or having been effectually called, made alive by the Holy Spirit, he is in Christ. We've talked a lot about in union with Jesus Christ in Romans, and all of Paul's letters he writes that. You are either in union with Christ or out of Christ. In Christ or out of Christ. Spiritually dead or alive. God has, by effectually calling, either began a good work in you, and you are in a state of spiritual, or you are in a state of spiritual death and corruption. One commentator says, by means of the Word, accompanied by His Spirit, God enlightens the understanding with a heavenly light, moves the will, that is the desires, and the affections, that's your emotions, to receive and embrace Christ, and forms in the heart His image, God's image, and the new man, of which the apostle says that it is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then Ezekiel 37 gives us a good picture of this, of the valley of dry bones. And the word of the Lord, He says, He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, that is the church. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, says the Lord. And this is what Jesus cried out to Lazarus when he was in the tomb. John 11, Lazarus, come forth. That's the effectual call. God commands. He calls. Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound in hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. God's people, all who are elected, will be at the right time in their life, in this life, effectually called. And all who are effectually called have been from all eternity elected and ordained, foreknown, predestined unto sanctification to eternal salvation. This calling is the proper and necessary consequence of being eternally chosen to be a child of God. And so as God is predestined, so he effectually calls, as he says here in verse 30. And we have the parallel verses to Romans 8, 29 and 30 in 2 Timothy 1, 9. It says there, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings. Notice the context of sufferings, like Romans 8. The sufferings of for the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Your calling is based in eternity past, and yet it happens in this life, even as we share in sufferings in this life. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He called you out of darkness in the effectual calling. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the wonderful thing about this calling, effectual calling, is that final perseverance of the saints, or preservation of the saints, as in Romans 8, is also secure. That is also secured because of this. So since it stands corrected here in verse 29 and 30, or connected here with verses 29 and 30, with election and predestination and sanctification and glorification, all are connected here. And so if you are foreknown for love, if you consider your predestination unto sanctification, or if you consider your calling, or if you consider your justification, all of them are connected so that you will be glorified. There is no way to not be glorified if you are any one of those things, and if you're any one of those things, you're all of those things by God's grace. And so, as we think of this calling, verse 30, as it is the effect of, in a sense, predestination, this effectual calling must be irresistible. Or rather, better language is invincible and irreversible. This is that grace that we speak of when we talk about irresistible grace. And yes, better talk about invincible grace or irreversible grace. It's a grace that comes from God, just like the calling here. It's a grace that comes from God and calls you out of darkness into light forever. Irresistible grace is really the doctrine of effectual calling. And yet it's here where those false teachers say, as we've learned in Sabbath school again, that God gives you a prevenient grace, or a lot of grace, to get you to a point where you can make a decision of whether to call upon him or not. And yet that is not found anywhere in Scripture. It's very clear here. He calls you. And those whom he calls, he justifies. And we go back to Romans chapter 5, you are justified by faith. Why do you call on him in faith to be justified? It's because you are called by him. This calling is clear. He calls, he justifies, and that means he predestines and he foreknew. In God's effectual calling, he supplies you grace that is invincible, irreversible, irresistible, and you are made alive and new. That's God's call. The call that doesn't have the Holy Spirit accompanying it is like Psalm 58, verse 4. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf cobra that stops its ear, which will not heed the voice of charmers, charming ever so skillfully. But the effectual call, the call accompanied by the Holy Spirit, which is what's being talked about in verse 30, is that glorious grace unto all who believe the gospel. Not based upon their belief in the gospel, but unto the belief in the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you," verse 29, "for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's verses 29 and 30, that whole 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. God's people, that's effectual calling from Scripture and different aspects of it. And so what our confession of the Westminster Divines did is they took that, and in the larger catechism, they have it in the shorter catechism too, they also have it in the confession, but in the larger catechism, they put all of what the Scripture said and they put it into this answer. What is effectual calling? Effectual calling is the work of God's almighty power and grace, whereby, out of His free and special love to His elect, and from nothing in them moving Him thereunto, He doth, in His accepted time, invite and draw them to Jesus Christ by His Word, but not just His Word, by His Word and Spirit, savingly enlightening their minds, renewing and powerfully determining their wills or desires, so as they, although in themselves dead in sin, are hereby made willing and able freely to answer His call and to accept and embrace the grace offered and conveyed therein. That's what we've seen this morning. And that's what's being talked about in verse 30. And so verse 28 too. How do I know then if I have been effectually called? So I know then that I am foreknown or foreloved, that I am predestined, not just predestined, but predestined unto sanctification, unto the conformity to the image of His Son. And how do I know thus that I am the elect, or of the elect and chosen people of God? God's people, you know you are effectually called if God has drawn you to Jesus Christ by His Word. Yeah. Knowing that the Holy Spirit has worked in you, yeah, to change your thinking, and so your thoughts have changed. Yeah. He's changed your feelings, your emotions. He's changed all of it. He's changed your desires to love God. Amen. To love Jesus. Amen. To love godly things. To love the gospel. And you know you've been effectually called if you freely answered the call of God, the general call. And when you've heard that gospel, and every time since then, right, you have heard that gospel and you've believed it. You've trusted it. You renounced your sin. To hate your sin. Yeah. You hate sin. Amen. And you turn to God from your sin. Now you might struggle with that sin, but you hate that sin and you keep turning to God from it. If you've done that, then you've been effectually called. Then you've been elected and chosen from before the foundation of the world. You've been predestined unto sanctification and foreknown and foreloved of God from all eternity. And what a great assurance you have then, you ought to have, that even, you go back to verse 28, that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Do you love God? Not just love what He's done, but do you love who He is? And all of who He is? And then it says, and you have been called according to His purpose. If that is true, then all things will work together for your good. All things. Not some things. Not most things. All things. Even unto glorification. Even in the midst of sufferings. To be glorified with Jesus Christ. You will be. And so that is what God gives you. As the very foundation of His promises that He's given you so far in Romans 8, He gives you verses 29 and 30 to give you that ground, that firm foundation to build your assurance on. Him and what He's done for you in Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We give you praise because you're a God who effectually calls your people. You don't leave us in the dark, you bring us into your marvelous light. You change our hearts by your Holy Spirit. As the Word goes forth, you accompany your Word with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes in, He changes our hearts. He changes our minds, He changes our wills, He changes our affections to love you, to have this greater now desire and passion to serve you, to see your name glorified, to see your Son glorified, and all that He is and what He's done for us, even in His humiliation and exaltation, now as He sits as enthroned in heaven as our mediatorial King. And Father, all that we can do is give praise to your name and worship you and serve you in this life. Father, we do pray for those and ask for your help for all of us here as we examine our effectual calling, if we are called or not. And any here who are struggling, who are your children, who have been called, as they struggle with assurance of their salvation, we pray that you would bring it about in your timing, according to your will. Well, we pray that you would bring it about, and you would give them assurance that would even then spur them on to greater service and worship of you. And Father, we also pray for those who believe they are called, and yet who are not, or at least have not been effectually called. They may be chosen, they may not be chosen, but if they believe they are effectually called, but they have not truly believed the gospel, they have not trusted the gospel for their life, they have not had the Holy Spirit, and they do not have the Holy Spirit in their hearts. Father, may you reveal to them their state before you, that they would know that they are on their way to judgment and condemnation forever, unless they turn and they believe unto salvation. Even amongst our children, many of our children would say, I believe the gospel, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, He rose from the dead to secure my life. And yet they don't trust it for their life. They still love their sin. Father, bring them to yourself. Send your Spirit and effectually call them to you. Even them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.